The House Committee on Revenue for June 17, 2009 will come to order. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 832. Mazin?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 832, we discussed yesterday. However, at that time, we had an amendment that was to be done for the bill. However, it wasn't in the format that it should have been. Now you have in front of you in the packet the dash A5s. This is the amendment that aligns the investments for the highway fund and the lottery, and just allows the investment council to do those. These have been looked at by the different concerned agencies, ODOT and the lottery, of course, it's the state treasurer, and everybody's concerned. There is no expenditure impact, as you have, and no revenue impact for both the bill and the amendment, the dash A5, and that's what you have in front of you today.
Thank you. Representative Bentz?
Mr. Chair, I move the amendments A5 to Senate Bill 832.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves A5 amendments to Senate Bill 832. Discussion? I've had a chance to review the amendments and especially the referenced ORS numbers. They simply refer to the Investment Council and the rule about investment in Sudan. But otherwise, they establish they modify the way in which the highway fund is invested. And I think it's following what is essentially the rule now. We're simply codifying it in the statute. Any further discussion on the A5s? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the A5s are adopted. Representative Bentz?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 832.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Berger.
Before we make this vote, can I have a discussion with you? Could we go into a brief recess?
Sure. We'll recess. We will stand at ease. Back to order. Representative Bentz, you are in the middle of a motion. Would you restate it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Bentz moves Senate Bill 832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Boy, that was easy. Motion carries. Representative Benz, will you carry the bill?
Happy to.
Thank you. Representative Benz will carry. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 832 and open a work session on House Bill 3305. That's also yours, Mazin.
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3305 is, of course, my lifetime employment guarantee.
The bill should pass.
Yes. We're looking at the Dash 7s.
And we're looking at the Dash 7s. The Dash 7s, Mr. Chair, talk about the issue of the working capital, and it has this definition of how the working capital is to be, or suggestion of how it to be estimated. And then in the second page allows for the Department of Revenue by rule to go into the adjustment for the time of death for the working capital. The suggestion on the working capital estimates is to be 7 years for the time prior to the year of death. And then there is a fix for in page 4 for the including commercial fishing in the definitions that we have this we have missed, including the commercial fishing.
Is this the look back period?
Right.
Okay, you're right. We did leave that out before.
We left that out in 2008, so we put it back in, and then the bill is effective for the deaths occurring January 1st to 2010. That's what the Dash 7 amendment does, and it's minimal fiscal impact and minimal revenue impact.
No, it doesn't have much revenue impact.
Well, no. We define it as a minimal, which is $50,000 or less.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, it looks to me like we have several interested parties here. Would any of you like to be heard? And my intention is to move this thing today if you're up to it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Deborah Boone, House District 32. And indeed, we just want to see this thing move through, not that we want to lose Mazin a job or anything, find something else for you to do, like firefighters tax credit or something. We'll do that next time. But I'm not going to speak much. I'm just going to leave that to the experts over here. But there's been a lot of work done on this bill over the last three, this is the third session now, and I would love to get this thing out and on its way. And I would appreciate you moving this today and getting this through. This has been a long journey, and one of the good things, I guess, taking this long, what it has manifested itself in many more families with natural resource-based family businesses and fishing vessels have done some estate planning in the interim as we're working this through. So we know that there will be that more and more people are paying attention to this, and I would love to, in the last few days of our session, get this thing through finally. So,
thank you. Please.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. Thank you for scheduling the bill today. 2 moments ago was the first time I've seen the Dash 7s. Farm Bureau and Oregon Association of Nurseries have provided a variety of amendments to the bill. So far, incorporating the comments from the practitioner groups that have worked on the bill, we feel that the Dash 4s meet the intent of the original legislation and help to implement the bill fully. Unfortunately, this morning, from reading the Dash 7s, I don't feel that the Dash 7s encompass all of the functions and clarity that the Farm Bureau was looking for regarding providing a mechanism for families who have no estate planning to date. So For the record, the dash fours are our preference. The dash sevens do pick up a couple pieces that may work better than the current definition of working capital, but it's kind of a toss-up. It would split the difference between families that have adequate accounting practices and families that don't. From conversations that I've had with my members, most of those members, I would say, are farmers because they enjoy being out in the field, not because they enjoy doing paperwork. So with that, I'll open to any questions or pass it
Thank
on
you.
To Mr. Stone.
Mr. Chair, Jeff Stone, Oregon Association of Nurseries. I know that when we get into the waning days of session, everybody is tired. Certainly there are a lot of people who are tired of this bill. I join you.
You too.
Among that fatigue. The issues before us remain that we want to make sure that any fix to this has a long-lasting impact that helps make sure that land is not converted because of the tax law to other uses other than farm, forest, or fishery operations. Those are important components. The two that have been the primary focus of this committee over the last several weeks has been on working capital and fixing the credit table. To really resolve with the credit table a dollar for dollar tax credit about what would be assessed if it was a natural resource credit for up to $7.5 million. Those are two important components that we think are key to make sure that it works on the ground. With Mr. Cleave, we just had a moment, just about 2 minutes, I think, to review the Dash 7s. And I just remain concerned that we make sure that any effort that we make during this session finally resolves the issue to the way that we think will make it actually work on the ground for my members, for Sean's member, for forestry, and also for Debbie's, Representative Boone's friends over on the coast. So a lot of work has gone into it. We've had bipartisan support. Mr. Chair, you had every opportunity not to schedule this, and we appreciate that you did schedule it, but I would echo Mr. Cleave's point of view that we think that the Dash 4s, as presented to this committee, is the best course of action and actually makes it so we don't have to have this be an annual event before our legislature. So it's not my intent to make sure that we're back next time. That's why I'm hoping that you'll pass the Dash 4s. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And do you have any comments about the Dash 7? Now, recognizing that it doesn't cover everything you want, what it does cover, does it do that in a way that that ought to get at the issue having to do with the definition of working capital?
Chair Barnhart, again, for the record, Sean Cleave, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. During rulemaking for working capital, which was a term that was placed into statute during the 08 supplemental session, the term working capital was compressed into a one-year timeline. For farms, specifically nurseries and tree farms, that period of time for a working capital adjustment just isn't realistic. It would probably work for your standard Oregon small business, but not so much for the natural resource industry. Again, just to refocus the committee's intent for the legislation. This legislation really isn't meant to be used by large family or large corporate farms. In Oregon, 98% of our farms are small family farms. Most people have a mix of properties that would qualify under the credit and don't qualify under the credit. And if you recall, we modified the law to present a cutoff point that says you have to at least have 51% of your properties as qualifying property under this to qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that mix, and because the people who will truly use this program are people who don't have a sophisticated estate planning system, we're just concerned that taking a seven-year look back and applying it to those people who would actually use this, unsophisticated, non-planned estates, it might do more harm than good, and it's probably a toss of a coin. But we're prepared to accept that seven-year look-back definition of working capital because we have other look-backs, which it made sense to do, but to toss a coin on one definition and not pick up the others, I think, is where our concerns lie.
And, Mr. Chair, I would just add that Jeff Stone, Oregon Association of Nurseries, a lot of these small farms who complain bitterly that I send them emails and want only faxes don't have spreadsheets. They have shoeboxes. For their record keeping. And so we've had examples of folks whose father unexpectedly passed away. And their father was not very well, I mean, he could grow a tree, but could not organize receipts. And so they did everything that they could, but what we're trying to prevent is conversion of land. So you're forced to sell part of it in order to pay the tax. And so I think you've made a value judgment as a legislature twice to pass this bill. What I'm hoping is that whatever you choose to do, and I would agree with Mr. Cleave, it is kind of a coin flip whether or not they're able to go back 7 years. But as long as there's recognition on the record about what your intent is and the fact that working capital is valuable and should be recognized, that is an important step, but we think that there are other elements in the Dash 4s that are equally important.
Right. Well, others want to chime in because I have some other things to... Yes, Representative Broom.
Well, I just appreciate the conversation from Jeff and Sean on this. As a former banker and a former CFO, I am very troubled by this definition of working capital and perhaps the unintended consequences with this definition of working capital. I'm not sure those have all been... I think, Mr. Chair, this came out of a small working group, and we're just now seeing it for the first time today.
Yes, correct.
My comments will lead to a question to Mazin. The real definition of working capital is current assets minus current liabilities. That's what working capital really means. That's not what this says. We've got this look-back thing. And I guess my worry is here, we're looking at working capital as part of what we're going to attach a tax to, and we have no back-out that I see in this definition for debt. There's capital, but capital's not defined. And so my question is, are we going to tax somebody on the working capital, which this definition does not... from which debt is not excluded in this definition.
May I suggest that in a minute we'll ask the department to come up and perhaps talk about that question as well as some of the other pieces of it. Let me just comment, if I could, quickly on the premise of the first part of your comment, and that is that if you're working with somebody with a good set of books, this stuff is pretty easy. Because having those records is not difficult to come up with. The definitions you're talking about are going to apply. They've segregated working capital from the money that they take home to pay for groceries for their children and clothing and that kind of thing. That's in a different account. This stuff becomes easy, and this isn't going to affect that very much, if at all. In fact, it evens out the bumps. If this happens to be a particularly light year, then you're still going to be able to get your more or less average working capital covered. But the problem that we had with the other definitions, as I perceive it at least, was that they essentially required that kind of behavior. This one doesn't. If you kept your receipts in a shoebox and your executor had to go back and reconstruct the last 7 years in order to figure this out, they could do it. And, of course, the Department of Revenue has systems, and we'll ask in a minute, but they have systems in place that are designed to be reasonable, reasonable estimates in situations like this in order to get around the difficulties in record keeping, precisely to deal with the kinds of families that don't have carefully segregated accounts and carefully drafted plans, because I think those families can function with almost any definition that is realistic, that fits the real world. Now, you may have some other comments, but that was the intent of this, rather than going with with the proposal that came in earlier that basically required segregated accounts and all of that.
Here, my only fear is, and I just make it clarify this a little bit. My only fear is that I don't want to be in a situation, and I'm sure that the fishermen and the nurserymen and the farmers don't want to be in the situation either, where they're being taxed on debt they use to finance their operations.
Can I say something?
Because there's nothing that would prohibit, from this definition, there's nothing that would prohibit that. Now, I'm sure Department of Revenue wouldn't intend that, and maybe in their rules, but there's nothing in this definition that backs out leverage from working capital. And in fact, the true definition of working capital is that. It's current assets minus current liabilities, but that's not what this definition says.
Well, of course.
It says something completely different.
We have never actually defined the term working capital.
Well, there's a Mr. Chair, if I will, there's a standard definition of working capital that's used by CPAs, accountants, financiers around the world.
Right. And so under the normal rule, we would apply that standard. Generally speaking, when you're evaluating an estate, the first thing you do is you take the value, total value, and you subtract obligations, you know, the mortgage, whatever. And I'm assuming that that would continue to be the case, but we can ask Ms. Buchanan when she gets here to do that. Representative Boone.
Thank you. Again, Deborah Boone, House District 32. We, in 2008, we fixed, if you will, the 2007 legislation, and it resulted in 14 families actually being done further harm and were required to do exactly what the bill was designed not to do in the first place, and that is they had to sell assets or come up with additional monies to pay their taxes. I also have just seen the Dash 7s 2 minutes ago, too, so I have not had a chance to compare them side by side with the other amendments. I have Dash 2s, I have Dash 4s, and I rely on these two guys who have been in these meetings with the group that has donated thousands of hours of comp time, lawyers and accountants and everything. This has gotten to be very convoluted bill in that sense. What I don't want to have happen here, and I can't tell you if they will, these Dash 7s versus the Dash 4s, cause either additional harm or a different kind of harm, or bringing up what Representative Brune has said. Representative Clem's family farm keeps a different pot of money, if you will, for working capital. And you can't run that on a 12-month calendar. These things, for any trees or any long-term crop, you know, you're not talking about row crops, vineyards, things like that. They take a long time. You're talking 20, 30, 40 years in some cases. Rotations of timber is exactly a good point. Small woodlands, if you're not growing poplar, you're growing dead fir or something like that, you're talking a long time. And if you have to, if you're just going by the last 12 months, that's not going to work, or your total debt. And in a lot of cases, and we go back to the major premise of this bill in the first place, these are people who are maybe land rich by today's standards, and as land accelerates in its value, and cash poor. These are not people who have a lot of money, expendable income. They have all their money's tied up in their operation. And I'll take a fishing boat as an example. A fishing boat can be up to $1 million worth of value when it's geared out and everything. And you might live in a trailer somewhere and have very little money, very little income, because fishing is cyclical, just like farming. And sometimes, like right now, we have closures that were not expected. So these people have invested a lot of money in their equipment and their business activity, and they're just out of luck. They're on welfare. They're on going through this thing. And then what if the guy goes out for one trip just in case he runs it clear down the coast or into California? He falls overboard because he gets wrapped in a boat, in a rope or something. And there you have it, a 34-year-old fisherman who's overboard, gone, missing, dead, left a 28-year-old wife with two or three kids and no income, you know, and what does she have to sell? The boat. So I think you get my point there.
It is very, very tough. Yeah. As I'm listening to this, the prediction I made 5 months ago that we were not likely to get through the working capital definition this session is looking more and more likely. I thought that Representative Benson and I had come up with a plan that might work, and I'm hearing that maybe it won't. I think my thought right now is that we probably aren't going to get there this morning. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is to hear from the department talk about, let them talk, let the Ms. Buchanan talk about how she would perceive the dash sevens fitting into the in with the regulations that they've already adopted, perhaps changes they may need to make in the regs based on the change in the statute, and then see if how that works, and then perhaps Gary want a chance to sleep on it. I know we're going to have at least one more meeting. We have the historic properties tax bill yet to come, Senate Bill 192, I think it is, and I think we're going to plan to work that one tomorrow. So, or to have a hearing and work that tomorrow, if we can. I'm not sure we've posted for that, have we? So we can't hold a hearing unless I hold it at 9 o'clock or after. All right, but anyway, and see where we go on it. Let me just make one more comment to the three of you about the issues that you've raised. The other changes that we're talking about are expensive in terms of revenue estimate. The budget this time is really bad, as you know. In the conversations that I've had with the co-chairs of the Ways and Means Committee and with leadership, we simply are not in a position to spend money on this bill or on any other bill during this session. And so the other items in the dash four amendments, the ones having to do with a change in the credit schedule, the ones having to do with changes in the understanding of how federal and state law interact with each other, and there was at least one other that cost multi-millions of dollars each, simply are not in the cards for this session because I can't get it passed because it would take funds away from schools, healthcare, and public safety, what we spend our money on. So that's the reality of things. What I was hoping was that we could pass a bill this time that would fix the definition or the issues around the definition of working capital. And so Representative Bentz and I worked with Mazin and came up with this definition. I think an hour ago we both liked it. I'm not sure we do now, but that's where we are. And my prediction then was that it was going to take another interim to get working capital worked out. This morning I thought otherwise, and now I'm not so sure. So maybe I was right in February.
And Chair Barnard, I just would like to add again, Sean Klebe for the record, we really appreciate the time of the committee and the members outside of the committee that have worked so diligently on it and the three practitioners who have devoted an exponential amount of time over the last year and a half to this issue. Their passion is greatly appreciated. There obviously are some hydraulics within the current program based on a variety of mechanisms within the original bill that we introduced. I think it would behoove us to know some of the dollar estimates for each policy mechanism and then to compare that against pulling some of the money off the top to get to a revenue neutral, and just to be completely informed, to the state, Jeff, Mr. Stone and I, we're not quite sure exactly what those dollar figures are, and obviously we're very interested in presenting a program that's somewhat revenue neutral, but also takes into account that accidents happen and sometimes families don't have those savings. And there's a variety of policy outcomes that are a net benefit to Oregon's family farmers, ranchers, and fishermen. So that's the intent. And with that, I'll close.
Thank you. I think we all agree that the bill that we passed in 07 and then amended in 08 is a whole lot better for many people in the small natural resource property situation than the law we had before. I think the problem is that as we deal with this, with something new like this, it takes a while. I was trying to think the other day about why it was that I thoroughly understood and had no trouble describing and working with the large revenue bills that the legislature has just passed recently. Well, the reason, of course, is that those have been in the works for more than a decade. The original plans for those were worked before I was in the House by some people who are still in the Senate now. This bill and this idea first came up in 2007, so it simply hasn't had the kind of time that for study and for understanding that those bills have had. And while the specific details of those bills are maybe different than what we were working on before, the interactions of the different pieces are very well understood. The interactions of these pieces is not well understood by anybody who's not directly connected with farm or nursery or fishing situations, and so we have to keep plugging away at it. Yes, Representative Berger.
Mr. Chair, this is our third round with this complex, convoluted, but important piece of our statute. I would like to put on the table the suggestion that this might be very much an area that we could ask the Oregon Law Commission to do a more comprehensive, bring people to the table and see how this could be worked out to and clarified and statutorily. They have the resources to spend the time. It's a process that I think everyone feels is neutral, and its only goal is to make our statutes work. And I think this is an area that we have struggled with sufficiently that maybe those legal eagles, if you will, and economists and folks who do this at our behest, this might be an area where they would be of great help to move this in a cogent and complete form and then come back to us for whatever statutory fixes they can come up with, because theirs is a time-consuming process, but this has been time-consuming enough, and we aren't there yet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What does the committee think about that?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Call.
I do think it's a good idea. I would like to say that I don't think that there's any way to include working capital in this discussion that doesn't actually cost us more on the tax credit side of things. I mean, I don't know how we start to include this and not have it cost more or make this revenue neutral, if that's one of the goals.
And we already allow for working capital, and so the cost is already built in.
Right, but if... Okay. I guess from what I've been involved in this discussion, I don't see how we continue down this road and try to do more by changing the definition in a way that doesn't include more in what working capital is and therefore make the tax credit more expensive. So, I mean, I'm supportive of it. I think that everybody should be able to get there, but I also don't think that there's any way we're going to get to this that doesn't end up costing more, and I'm actually supportive of it costing more. It gives me heartburn right now to think about expanding this at all, which is partly is more a reflection of the circumstances and the budgeting circumstances we're in than whether or not this policy should move forward. And I guess what I think I'm trying to say is, I think we would have reached a solution this session if we weren't under such drastic budgetary circumstances. I think that the discussions around what working capital is or isn't and how it should be defined in statute would have been not so hard to get at. And so I think that February, we might be able to come back to this with fresh eyes and come to a solution that is better, because I think a lot of us believe that there will be brighter economic horizons on the future that are more apparent than they are now. So I'm fine with, at least maybe I have that optimism alone and would like to share that optimism with everybody on the committee here today. But I don't want to create busy work for folks when I think that the real stumbling block here is that we just probably can't afford to do this right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mazin.
I just would like to bring back the working capital. Why is it coming into issue here? The process by which we are looking at this, is you have an estate, you take the estate and value it, you look at about 50% of this estate being natural resource property. Now, if you already are 80% natural resource property, you don't need working capital to qualify you because you're already qualified. This is to benefit some who are on the margin of not being 50%, is to allow them to include the working capital that they're having in order to reach that 50% and qualify for the tax credit. Now, that being said, the evaluation for the debts are already out of the evaluation for the estate as a whole. So that, let's say, that working capital makes 10% and they're at 40% of the estate being natural resource property, that will bring them to about 50% and allow them to qualify for the credits. That's the way the working capital is being supposed, and that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. Now, something about moving, that this is like, it's becoming to me, look, I don't know what's the name of that game, but when you start pulling, you know, these things, and sometimes...
Tetris?
Jenga. Yeah, here you go. That's the name.
My kids are
yeah, my kids play that too. I can't touch it. But this is sounding like I am being skilled with this. One of the things of the Dash 4s that do, for an example, it changes the credit by removing the credit table. It is changing the credit from a credit way of doing things in taxes to an exemption way of doing taxes. And that changes the whole complexion of the tax. Now, why is that a problem? Because we have traditionally been linked to federal tax structure on this. There is, obviously, we're moving towards a way of becoming an independent regime of taxing estate. If we are going to be an independent regime of taxing estate and not only piggybacking on the federal laws, we might benefit from establishing a whole tax regime with a certain defined policies that we want to reach with that. So the more we start pulling these parts, although some people think, oh, this might be the best part to move or not, you might be pulling different things, and I think we having a great process of defining where the policy is and building on the suggestion that Representative Berger has done with a group, that would be a great benefit to your tax policy options that you have in front of you with these issues.
Let me make sure I understand. I think what you're saying is perhaps if we broaden the perspective from simply looking at natural resources property to looking at the entire structure of Oregon's estate tax, that might be of interest to the Institute and might be beneficial for us. Is that a good translation of what you said?
That is an excellent translation because, Mr. Chair, after all, we are defining a new policies in the estate taxation, and that's the policy that you want to define in general and then give
and then the specifics.
Sure. Mr. Chair, to comment on Mr. Malik's comment regarding the credit table and the working capital definition, if we are to kick this to the Oregon Law Commission, I'd just like to place this on the record. The modifications that we made in 05 that provided a mechanism for that 50% qualifying rate also modified that tax table created a tax table for a credit. Mm-hmm. Where before we weren't sure whether we had an exclusion or exemption, and that created all sorts of tax implications because everybody in the world would have qualified. The problem with the credit table now is that depending on the value of your estate and depending on the mix, the closer you get to 50-50, the more punitive our tax structure becomes for non-qualifying properties. And that's because our estate taxes are on a step-up basis. And once you hit a certain value, you could be at 16% of taxable values. So if you have a semi-large estate and the closer you are to 50-50, 50% of your property could be taxed at that higher rate without starting over. So it really is a math game for an accountant, and it, this is one of those issues where when we talk about providing a mechanism to reduce complexity, this is what we're talking about. For a lot of families, they may not, depending on the size of their estate and depending on the mix, they may elect not to use the credit because it would be punitive for all non-farm properties. And I don't know if I'm probably fatiguing the committee, but I just wanted to get that on the record.
And that's the difference between an exemption and a credit, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. What was this? This is how you build your tax structure. Do you want to give an exemption so you come and lop it off and give, or do you look at it and then give the credit for whatever it is? And that's a policy decision
right.
that you have made in 2008. And if you're wanting to change that, that's where you start pulling on these pieces and the whole thing.
Gets then back to your modification of Representative Berger's suggestion that an overall look makes sense. And that may be right. The perspective that we've been using on this bill is pretty narrow. And it is, of course, an important piece of the overall structure of the estate tax. And that's not a crazy idea, especially since we don't know where the federal government's going to go on that. And we don't know whether what they come up with is something that we're going to be able to nestle comfortably into as we used to in the estate tax or not. Representative,
thank you. Sean actually did kind of touch on it. When this all started, this was an exclusion. This was the first $7.5 million of the natural resource-based property or fishing vessel, and then you start taxing on top of that. That's just what we've done with the revenue-raising bills that we ran through the House and Senate last week. You're up to this point. It's the way it is now. Over that, it's the same kind of thing. It's over the 7.5. That's where it started. That's what Representative Krieger would tell you is the original intent of this. And then I, just without being an attorney and looking at all these without my glasses and stuff and comparing the -7 and -4 working capital definitions, they seem like they're kind of the same to me and a little bit different wording, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think that both Mr. Stone and Mr. Cleave have worked the -4s to death and did all the back work with the committee and did come up with this. This thing has been worked a lot, put it that way. I have not personally sat in on all those meetings. I do appreciate all the time everybody has spent on this. But I think in my opinion, I would ask you just to, if we want to move this out, go ahead and accept the -4. I don't see much difference in the definitions there. The differences may be in the tables, and I didn't side-by-side the tables either. I would trust their judgment. They've been working on this for so long, and they know what they're doing in this. They took this issue on 3 years ago and have, in the last year and a half, been really working it hard. So that's what I would hope. I would like to finish up, and I understand and I appreciate Representative Berger's suggestion for the Law Commission. If that's what it ends up being, that's what it's your decision. But I would hope that after the amount of work they have put in, that you could trust their vision on this, and that's the right way for us to go at this point.
Okay. All right. The only comment I make at this point is that I've never seen the -4s. I don't have them in my file, and I don't. I haven't seen them.
Mr. Chair, I believe they're in the committee files. We gave them to Mr. Malik about a week and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
So
right.
Our apologies for not getting them directly to your office.
All right. They are more comprehensive, aren't they? And they would have a significant revenue impact.
That's correct.
Yeah, see, that's the problem at this point is that we simply don't have the money to spend. And I was hoping we could deal with one piece of the issue. It sure looks like just on the first page that the definition of working capital is the same as in the -7s. The section on the second page of the -7s doesn't appear to be in the dash fours.
Mr. Chair, if you want to know what the differences are, I could quickly go through it.
Okay.
Thank you.
The dash sevens basically focus on the working capital and adds the rulemaking authority to the Department of Revenue on implementing the adjustments for the data debt. The dash fours add a whole different policy options that you have in front of you. It talks about the 20% cap in the second page, and that was in the work group discussion probably not needed to allow for that cap. So basically you're saying 30% property, 20% cap makes a 50%. But you were able to see that this is might not work. And then you talk about the credit table in page 3, and this is the problematic exemption thing. Is you go and lop off the credit table, half of it up to $7.5 million, which becomes a whole different policy of the exemption, and then versus the credit from $7.5 million another, and you would end up in some court somewhere trying to explain this. Then you would have the other definitions here that comes with the what's so-called the QTIP, the relationship with the federal and the state. That's in your page 5. Addition to that, in the last page 6, and end up, that's when you allow for almost forgiveness of if a property has been sold to pay federal tax. That, you
know. Right. And that gets back to Representative Call's question, I think it was, about what the incentive effect of that might be that you asked at an earlier hearing. I remember, yeah. And you see, the problem is that this particular amendment costs several million dollars at minimum in the next biennium, and it's just simply no way we can get there with this one. That was why I was hoping that we would be able to do at least a piece of this with the dash sevens. I think what I'd like to do, if we could, is hear from the department just for a little bit to see how this fits in with the regulations they've already adopted, changes they might need to make, and then the committee can decide whether we, in fact, are ready to work the dash seven amendments, which does a piece of what the dash fours goes to without spending a lot of money. And then, and if we can, that's fine. If not, then I'm very intrigued by Representative Berger's suggestion that we actually ask for a bigger study and see if we can get somebody with a lot of expertise to help us with it. And perhaps, probably the Oregon Law Commission would be the obvious group to approach. Now, of course, they pick their own topics, so they may or may not want this one, but we could certainly ask them. Representative Call.
Yeah, and I'd just like to revise my earlier comments a bit. Since we didn't have the dash fours in front of us, my understanding was that the major bone of contention was between one definition of working capital and another one that swept more broadly. Mazen's description of this, now that I have the dash fours in front of me, lead me to actually very much support Representative Berger's idea that we deal with the issues that are different between the dash fours and the dash sevens with the Oregon Law Commission. But I don't think that.
Of course, we'd ask them a broader question.
Right, but philosophically, there's a big difference between what the fours and the sevens do with regards to the question that Mr. Malik put forward. But I do think that I would support moving the dash sevens today to kick the can down the road a piece if that's what the committee would like to do. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just, regardless of what you do, I did note that the commercial fishing was left out, and if that could, at least at some point, be brought in, however you do
right
that.
Now that amendment is in the dash seven amendments.
Yeah.
That one, it's a little tiny piece in one of the back pages. Mm-hmm. Representative Berger.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I did not mean my comments to reference either the current bill or any of the amendments. One of the difficulties with legislative process is that we change This is a different group that started this. This is my third time and third group of people dealing with this issue.
Right.
Which tells me...
Half the committee were not involved in the
earlier discussion. Yeah, and it is a difficult, complex piece of law. I think philosophically we're all trying to get to the same place. But it is very hard, and doing it by amendment is sometimes it's a process that doesn't work very well for a complex sort of piece of law. And that is what the Law Commission does for us, is take that step back and look at the whole body and how the pieces fit together and make specific recommendations to how we can get to our, I think in this case, sort of shared goal of making this work. I don't think anybody disputes what we're trying to do here with regard to this and other estate tax pieces. So
we don't want people selling the family farm to pay taxes.
Exactly. So when we have a shared goal and the difficulty is getting there by our process, I think that's where the Law Commission can be very useful. And I don't know what other activities that have been contemplated by that body, but it's just my suggestion as a way out of this endless amendment process that I just wonder, are we moving forward or are we just muddying the waters further? Unintended consequences keep coming in, and not that the Law Commission can solve all problems, but they can certainly point cogently to a path that says if you do this, then it'll get you here, and if it'll get you... I have been I spent one entire interim with the Law Commission working on ethics reform, and let me tell you, for all the problems that we've had with ethics reform, a huge number of problems were solved by that process. And it really helped a lot. So I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say I think that's a great idea. My goal, of course, is the same as most people. Some people think I'm not concerned about this, but it's just because I'm tired of thinking about it. The goal, of course, in my mind is simply make sure that people who are in this situation who want to continue the family business are allowed to do so. And at the same time, make sure that we don't overextend this so that people who are not going to lose the farm because of the taxes don't take advantage of the law.
That's the conundrum, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. Other comment? Representative Benz, did you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just say that I wanted to thank you for giving us this opportunity to have this discussion and work through this difficult issue. I'm convinced listening to the discussion that if we do use the Law Commission, we should not adopt a day of the dash sevens and instead let the Commission manage with the least additional difficulty. And I'm not sure, given Mazin's thoughts, he didn't really want to say anything bad about the two of us, I don't think, so he was much kinder than he might otherwise have been. But it may be that this doesn't advance the ball that far, and if we're going to go the route Representative Berger has suggested, then I suggest we don't adopt the Dash 7 today.
It does give the Commission another year's history with a law that hasn't been changed then since 08 if we don't adopt amendments. So that's a good point. Others? I think we're getting to a consensus about what we ought to try to do. And if that's the case, then I don't see any value in hearing from the department today unless somebody still wants to do that. We have a few minutes if you want to. I don't see anybody asking for it. Yes.
Chair Barnhart, again for the record, Sean Cleave. If anything is done under this legislation, I'd just like to make just one simple recommendation. I do think see value in having the Law Commission evaluate the program. Of course, it's always a double-edged sword, too. But one thing that was definitely an inadvertent left on the table piece from the 08 definitions was on page 4 of the dash 7s, the lines 10 and 11, inserting the words or commercial fishing purposes. again, the intent was commercial fishing, forestry, and farms. That commercial fishing piece was left out in 07, and I would think that the committee might want to correct that. That wouldn't provide any different policy objective, but just for the record, to lay it on the, and I don't represent commercial fisheries, so
no.
With that disclaimer.
No, I remember that was essentially a Scrivener's error in 08, and I think we all recognized immediately after the fact that that had happened. Thank you. Anything else? Well, I think with that, then, unless there's an objection, we'll go ahead and close the work session. And with my thanks to everyone for all the continued work on it. I'm disappointed we didn't get to a bill today, but I think I'm really persuaded by Representative Bent's comment that if we're going to ask for help, it's better to ask for help on a bill that's been that we have a year's more experience with than one that we've just modified. Makes sense. Thank you. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3305. Colleagues, it looks like we have this one additional bill that I know we have to work, and that's Senate Bill 192. We did not schedule it. We haven't got a public hearing scheduled. We need a public hearing on that bill. So at this moment, my guess is that we will not meet tomorrow, but we will meet on Friday. Now, the Speaker, of course, has his own agendas and his own thoughts about such things, so keep paying attention to your inbox so that you can see what we've actually done. But my expectation now is that we will post that bill for hearing and work session on Friday.
Which bill?
Anything else? Okay, with that, see you on the floor in 15. Committee's adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Broden.